From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. New York Times bestselling author James McBride is back with a powerful and engaging new novel, The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. And we're lucky enough to be sitting down with James today to talk more about this newest endeavor. James, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot.
So first off, can you give us kind of the premise of your newest novel?
I can. It's about a grocery store in a little town called Pottstown, Pennsylvania. It's about a Jewish woman who runs a grocery store in the black section of town in the 1930s. And she stumbles into an incident where she has to house and hide a 12-year-old black kid who's deaf from the state of Pennsylvania that wants to institutionalize him.
So, you know, James, I know you said it's set in the 30s, but it starts in 1972. And
right.
what really struck me while I've been reading this book is really the humanity that you write about and really kind of our place in the world. But then I think, too, this community as well. I mean, was that kind of what you were thinking when you were writing this, or did that kind of just, you know, organically happen as these characters built out?
Well, it's all about community, really. And, mm-hmm. you know, for me, I think of my own life and every life in this country as a place where people learn to get along. And they learn to get along by making good choices in difficult times. And so in this case, this story is no different than what happens out here today. We just have to learn to get along and to have fun with each other and to accept each other. There are differences without making a big, you know, big whack-a-mole deal about it. I mean, it's not that hard.
Well, and that's what, you know, what also I thought about is that even though this book is, you know, set in the mid-20th century, there are so many themes in it that resonate today. I mean, one of them you just mentioned, right? How do we get along? How do we live with each other, even if maybe, you know, we have differences? So, I mean, when you look at this book now, in your mind, how does it relate to really the culture and the climate that we live in right now? I mean, in particular, in regards to things like politics and race, but I mean, even poverty.
Well, I mean, we don't really have a lot of respect for poor people or working poor people in this country. And that's, you know, that's always been one of our problems. I mean, in recent times, mm-hmm. you know, we've become more individualistic and we always talk about these rich people who do what the rich people do, blah, blah, blah. I'm not interested in those kinds of people in my books. Mm-hmm. I'm only interested in people who, you know, get stuck in traffic jams or, you know, they can't get a plumber to show up or, you know, they have a fight with their cousin and they don't speak for 5 years. And I mean, these are the things that really make the world go round. So in this case, you know, you have a little Jewish grocery store in the black section of town. This kid ends up in living with the woman who runs the store. The state wants to take him. The, you know, his relatives want him. They're trying to save up money to send him back down south. And it causes a lot of issues in this little town as this small community called Chicken Hill resists the state of Pennsylvania, which is trying to institutionalize this kid. I mean, at bottom, this book is really about equality and how we make it work in our own lives. I can't offer solutions for what's going on now today other than it's not hard to be decent. Hating is hard. Hating takes a lot of energy. You got to use your religion as a baseball bat, blah, blah. I mean, it's just, you know, but if you just love somebody, everything else comes. You know, I think the problem is that in this book and in our lives, too many of us use race and religion as a kind of baseball bat to absolve ourselves of the responsibility of caring for somebody else who might be a little bit different than us. Because the truth is, we're really not that different. So... all of my books deal with the humanity of people.
Well, agreed. You know, it's interesting. My dad used to always say to us, his kids, you know, to whom much has been given, much is expected in return. And what's interesting to me about that is that, you know, I grew up thinking that, you know, we had everything, and we did, because we had a roof over our head. I had parents who loved us. You know, we didn't want for anything. But when I look back on my childhood, I mean, I grew up in a very small town, very rural. You know, it was a big deal to graduate high school. And yet I felt the riches of the world because of the family that I came from. And so this idea of to whom much has been given, much is expected in return. I even tell my own children now about that, because it's like, it's about humanity. And what that means is be kind, be good, be generous.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's easy to say, but look, when you talk about small town America, you know, the mythology of small town America is that, you know, everything was like Mayberry, and it was an Andy Newman, yeah, whatever, Andy show. And it was just white folks, and they were all, everyone, you could trust everyone. There was no child molestation. Nothing like that happened. It was all just goody goody. That's really not true. There were no Jews. There were no blacks, and mm-hmm. everyone knew their place. And, you know, that kind of puff and smoke is not really good. I mean, the truth is that in these small towns, you know, there were problems, and there were people who had to, there were a few courageous people, and the rest of the folks kind of went along. And, you know, if we're going to be really honest about our history, we have to be honest about the fact that, you know, the good old days weren't really that good. I mean, for our children today is the good old days. And so we have to, you know, we have to set the table for them by letting them know that while, we had some disadvantages when we were young, the disadvantages they have now, we are having a hard time understanding. What I try to do in the Heaven Earth Grocery Store is show that these people who were black, Jewish, and working class white folks pretty much got along because they had to get along. There was no internet, there were no social services to catch them. They pretty much had to help each other because there was no one to help them. But they weren't run by the whole philosophy of hate. And nobody says the good old days in the Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. There's no such thing. People are just scrapping to get along. And even mm-hmm. today in the town of Pottstown, Pennsylvania, where this book is based in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, even today in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, the people who live there, mostly working poor people, because all the manufacturers cut out, they manage to get along. So, so you're talking about two different things. One, you're talking about, you know, in small town America, you know, people got along and it was great. Things were great, but they weren't you know, first of all, I would argue they weren't that great, because mm-hmm. if they were that great, they'd still be doing it. And because the manufacturers and the big boys wouldn't have taken their country companies and vamoosed. And the second part of it is that we need to look at how people managed during that time in order for us to get along better now. And that's really, I mean, it's one of the greatest assets of this country that we know how to get along with each other. It used to be. I mean, we're relearning that now.
Well, let's hope we're relearning it now, right? Repeating itself. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to insult people, because I have a lot of friends who, you know, I don't agree with politically, who, you know, watch too much television, and I don't own a TV. So I'm not involved with a lot of the nonsense that is being said, but basically Americans are very good people, and big town or small town, they're very good people. And that's to the benefit of a few people to claim we're different and, you know, to stoke hate and fear. That's an old trick. But the truth is, if things had going the way that some people wanted, we'd be killing each other right now. The truth is, we're trying to get along. We're coming back. It's not the end of the world. No one's going to kick your door in with a gun and take your pistols. I mean, it's just, I'm 66 years old. I don't listen to, you don't get this old being stupid. You know, you can. You can, but you don't. And I walk through the worst neighborhoods in Brooklyn. My church is in a housing project. I've never been mugged. I know everybody in the neighborhood. It's all about knowing people. And it's, you know, and my housing project is a small town, just like your town's a small town, or was a small
Yeah.
town. You know the two or three knuckleheads you stay away from, and they stay away from you. You know, most of the people work. Everyone's trying to do better. No one's. It's not the jungle that people claim it to be.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's exactly it, right? I mean, you just said it. It's community. It's even where you live. You know, if you know your neighbors, right? It makes a difference, and it seems really simplistic, but I think sometimes we complicate things in a way that we don't need to.
Well, you know, unfortunately, race and religion have a lot to do with that. You know, my religion is better than your religion. My God is greater than your God.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the church. You know, I still work in my family's church. I just got off the phone with the, because, you know, I'm like the half caretaker of the church. It's a little church. But, you know, I am not so bent on Christianity that I think Christianity is the best thing in the world. I mean, everybody's religion works for them. This book has, you know, a central character of Heaven and Earth Grocery Store is a Jewish woman who's as good a soul as you'll ever meet. And it's not complicated. It just boils down to, you know, I don't want to sound like it's corny okie dokie, because it's not. I mean, my book is a very complicated novel that has, it covers a lot of territory.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that, you know, it's easy to coast along with hope in your heart than to pour diesel fuel in the motor and just drive it along with hate, using race and religion and whatever else is a kind of a charging mechanism to keep you going. It just makes you old and unhappy.
Mm-hmm. How much of your personal background helped you or informed you by writing this book? In particular, you know, when you have this African-American community and this Jewish community.
Well, I mean, I knew all about the African-American community because I grew up in, you know, in that community. But my mother was Jewish and raised 12 black children in the 50s and 60s. So, and when I went to research her story in the South, you know, I learned quite a bit about, you know, life, immigrant life for Jewish people when they first came here in the 20s and 30s, and the obstacles they faced, and there were considerable obstacles. And so I was always curious about that, and I'm glad I had a chance to research that and learn about it and learn about anti-Semitism that never really, frankly, ever went away in this country. It exists now as it did before. We just have a situation where, you know, we've just pulled the covers back on it. It's not new. And it is one of the more shameful. These are shameful aspects of American life. That said, if you have a cancer, you want to know about it so you can fix it. You can't just say, you know, racism doesn't exist and I'm not racist. I mean, that's just, you know, all of us got some of that in us. We all got a little hate, a little racism. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of. But you know, if you want to work through it, you got to have an open mind, an open heart. I mean, you know, how hard can that be?
Well, and I think you make such a good point, right? That it's that if everyone can just acknowledge and say, yes, I have some of that in me. I mean, and you can't, if I almost believe that it's inevitable if you were raised in this country that you will not somehow have maybe some racist ideologies that you don't even recognize that you have. And so it's, can you recognize that? Can you educate yourself so then we can move forward? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But for personally, in my own personal life, I never have these kinds of I used to have these kinds of conversations in college at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, right.
No, but now I don't even bother. I mean, I accept people at, you know, how they are. I mean, I have plenty of friends. I have 2 o'clock in the morning friends, like friends I call up at 2 in the morning if I got a flat tire, who are, you know, I mean, as conservative, I mean, just politically completely different than me. But, you know, we make each other laugh. We have fun. I mean, I don't need someone to do like a self-exploratory thing on their whole race. In fact, sometimes I get suspicious when people start talking about that because it means they're really not. Listen, it's all about what's in your heart. If you have a good heart, even if you're a racist person, it doesn't bother me. I mean, you know, what you believe in, well, who you vote for bothers me a little bit because we need the right kind of people in government. But even so, you know, nothing's going to stop me from loving my fellow man. I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, if someone's a ding dong, this I just walk out the room. But in general, in my life and in
I
my
couldn't.
books, I go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, I was going to say I couldn't agree with you more, right? I mean, it's really simple as that. If they're ding dong, just walk out the door.
Unless you're at a school board meeting or something, there's no sense sitting around listening to them. But I mean, look, if somebody makes me laugh, I'll stick around. I don't care what they. I don't care if they're racist or not. I mean, I don't want to sound. I mean, I shouldn't say that because someone will take that and pin it on the internet, and then somebody will say, "Well, blah blah blah." But
no, they will.
Well, let them. I don't care. Big
Yeah.
deal. Their words can't hurt me. I just want, I wrote this book because I know that people instinctively want to do better and they want to get along and they want to understand our history in ways that are maybe not talked about so much. And that's really kind of why anybody who writes stories writes them, because they want to illuminate things that maybe we have a hard time talking about.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.